At Consumer Cellular, you get the same exact coverage as the largest carriers, but for up to half the cost. Same thing, up to half the cost. Up to half the cost for the same thing. 50% the money for 100% the same thing. I hope I'm making myself clear. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Half the cost savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 5GB data plan with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plan offered by T-Mobile and Verizon May 2023.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 18th day of February 2024. And tonight, our board op is Ken. Hey, Ken.
How you doing, Pastor?
Doing okay, ready to roll. And the title of my message tonight is Lesser Magistrates Then and Now. And some people might say, well, what is a lesser magistrate? Well, when setting authorities, folks, act in opposition to God's sovereign laws and statutes, those who stand in the gap are called lesser magistrates. So we're going to take a look at several of those in tonight's message. But I want to start out by saying, some years ago, when the abortion battles were raging on the streets in front of those bloody, I call them whorehouses of death. They call them abortion clinics, where babies are butchered, and where some of the most vile people come, where women will offer up their children, sacrifice for, often for convenience. And you've got these evil, I mean completely evil, abortionists. And I know that there's a special hot place in hell for these people. You know, I was in the prison ministry. Well, I'm still in the prison ministry, but actively visiting for 45 years, and especially death row. And when an abortionist went to prison, they had to put him in isolation, because even the normal child molesters would go out to get an abortionist. Abortionist had no future. As soon as the other inmates found out what they were, well, they'd be in trouble. They were the worst of the worst. And so here, when that abortion battle was raging, I was on the board of Ohio Right to Life. And so here, during one of the board meetings, in fact, I was on the board of the Ohio Right to Life for 21 years. But during a board meeting, one of the board members, she was a newer woman, made a proposal, and that would be that any board member that had been arrested on the streets out there in the battle to save babies would be prohibited from sitting on the board. Her reasoning was that the mainstream media would use their arrest to accuse all pro-lifers as being lawbreakers. And she went on to say that we will never get the mainstream media on our side. And this woman shows you just how, well, how simple-minded she was to think that she's ever going to get the mainstream media on her side. And so here, they hate us. They hate life. And here, and she says if we continue to appear offensive to them, well, we'll never get anything but bad press. Who cares about what the mainstream media cares? Now, I was amazed that this woman would say that. Now, remember, this was at a time when we were being arrested. I was on those streets often. I was arrested out there. I had to deal with, I went after dirty cops that were on the payroll taking bribes, and I exposed them. I went on the air. I gave their names, their badge numbers, and their precinct. And they even threatened to put a contract on me for doing that, okay? Our people were being arrested. I watched at times when we would have our operation rescues, and they would brutalize some of the pro-lifers. In fact, the nightmare in Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, they literally were dirty cops. And folks, listen, I support the police. A lot of my friends, we support the police, but just like an apostate preacher, when they go bad, they really go bad. And they give a bad name to all the clean guys. In fact, and when my battle with the dirty cops in the Cleveland area, the police that came to get my back were the good cops, the clean cops. They were the ones that came and let me know and thanked me for taking a stand, thanked me for exposing the corrupt ones. And it's like everything else. You got the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so, but the point was, while this was taking place, while our people, I remember in Los Angeles when they used nunchucks and broke the arms of our people during Operation Rescues, we had one of our guys, I was shot at out there on the streets by these bloody people. They hired people to get rid of me. They tried to run me over several times. One guy tried to stab me in the eye. But we were out there. We were saving babies. We were up against a very corrupt ACLU. Corrupt as corrupt gets, folks. So while this is happening here, this woman proposes that pro-lifers that get arrested for being doers of the word, for being substance over symbolism, for being the real thing, that they should not have a board position. Well, needless to say, that proposal did not sit very well with me. So I decided to make a proposal of my own. And that was that from this day forward, all new board members must have been arrested at least once for pro-life activity to qualify them for the position on the board of Ohio Right to Life. Now, if you'd have been there, you ought to have seen this, because when this woman made this proposal, immediately some of her associates or other board members, the women there, some of them nodded in agreement, and immediately, the men all looked at me. I mean, the men were quiet, and they all were looking at me like, "Here we go." Well, I didn't disappoint them. And that's when I made my proposal that in order to qualify from here on up, you had to be arrested at least once. Now, my reason for this proposal was so that we would know that the new members were more concerned about offending God with compromising and wanting to please an evil, wicked, corrupt media. They were more willing to offend God than they were the fake news media. And then here, also, they were, well, and that proposal was really standing against a uncompromising pro-life stand. So, with this, the men just stared, and there was some, like, boy, he's going to let them have it now, looks. So, very quickly, one of the women there said to him, why don't we, let's do this. I want to make a proposal that we reject both motions, and we don't ever bring this up again, because they knew that it would not, well, it would not do them any good, or bid well if they did that. But the point was, they got the message that, look, some of us here are for real. Some of us actually mean what we say. And we're not concerned about offending an ungodly, wicked mainstream media that could care, that hates us, that hates life to begin with. And so, with that, I'm going to start tonight in the book of Acts. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 5, starting with verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now, there was a reason that the Sadducees were filled with such indignation, folks, because, you see, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And here you had the apostles out there preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on that also, you had the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees believed in worshiping angels, and the Pharisees didn't believe in worshiping angels. But they sat on the Sanhedrin, which was also called the Council of Elders, and here they didn't agree on everything. Now, remember who they were too. They were both the religious leaders, but also the judicial. They were also the judicial. The Herodians actually were the legislative branch, and they were half-breed Jews, and both the Sadducees and the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with the Herodians. And so here now, he goes on to say, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, first of all, here, the angel of the Lord is none other than, this is what you call a Christophany. And the angel of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And so here, he came and he said, well, how did he just go in and release these guys without, you know, causing a big stir? Well, let's go on and we'll find out. But when he says here, go stand and speak in the temple to all the people, all the words of this life, this better said, go take your stand. Go take your stand for me and for my word. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly we found shut up with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Well, there was a good reason that they doubted unto them, because remember, when they crucified our Lord Jesus, what did the Pharisees do? They paid off the Roman guards who were there to guard the tomb. They paid them to lie about the Lord Jesus, saying that his followers came and stole his body. And so here now, then came one and told him, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Boy, that had to be a shocker to him, I can tell you. Then went the captain and the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Remember when he was, when the Lord Jesus was suffering on the cross, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth, and they went by wagging their fingers, and some of them said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." Well, you better be careful what you ask for, because Israel has paid a price ever since. And the day will come during that tribulation period, which is a purification period for the nation of Israel, when finally that sin will be forgiven, all of Israel, approximately one-third of those that are referred to as the seed of Abraham, that are the sons of Abraham, will receive forgiveness. The other two-thirds, not so much. They're going to be in trouble. And when they brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, okay, so we see this here. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. Now the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and to be a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them, and they obey, that obey him." And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up there of one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Now, Gamaliel was the apostle Paul's mentor and his personal teacher. Now, Gamaliel was watching, and he was very impressed. He knew, Joseph of Arimathea, which was a very wealthy member of the council, who also had trusted in Jesus. He's the one that bought the tomb for Jesus. So he's watching this. He's very, very also interested in Nicodemus. He knew Nicodemus, how Nicodemus had put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And these were converts there to the Lord Jesus. Now, and he knew that these were very wise and learned men. And so Gamaliel was very interested in why these men would be so devoted to the Lord Jesus. What was there? And so he stood, then stood up there one council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, "You men of Israel, Take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Now remember, as Scripture says, touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all had scattered, obeyed him who were scattered, and brought to naught. After this man rose Judas, the Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, and he perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Well, you know, these guys tried to overthrow the Roman government by force, okay? And, you know, they expected when Jesus came, they knew that Jesus could do that. They knew that he could do it. He just had to say the word. But that wasn't the reason he came. He came as a sacrifice. He came to fulfill the will of the Father, who demanded a sacrifice for sin, and it had to be a holy sacrifice. It had to be a completely sinless, completely blameless individual, and the only one to fit that could fit that description was the Lord Jesus himself. And the Lord Jesus, in obedience to the Father, allowed himself to be placed upon that cross and suffer more than any man had ever suffered. For us, he did it for you and for me. He goes on to say, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if the counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And so, here, and we're going to come back later, and we're going to finish with the last three verses, but I want to go now to Exodus, and we're going to take a look at some of these lesser magistrates that the Bible tells us about. And over in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, we read this. Now, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. Now, I know those names don't sound, they may sound a little unusual to us, but in those days they were common as Jane and Mary are today. And here, now, remember, these midwives, they were government employees. They worked for the government, much like today, like federal workers would be today. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, see them upon the stools. If it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then you shall live. Now, the old king, the Pharaoh, he did not want these young Hebrew men growing up to be where they could be soldiers, like the Chinese nationals that Joe Biden has been bringing into America. Hundreds of thousands. In fact, there's right now actually on our soil approximately 5 million Chinese nationals today in America. And they're here to overthrow this country. And we've been telling you about it. And Joe Biden and the entire Democratic collective out there are guilty of treason against America, against God and country. Folks, they're totally a part of that. But here, so now he said, again, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. Now listen, folks, when you went against the wishes of the king, bad things could happen to you. out there. So these women knew that they were sticking, they were putting their neck on the line when they did this, but they feared God more than the king. Did you hear that? They feared God more than the king. I wonder how many people in America today fear God more than government, huh? And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, "Why have you done this thing and have saved the men's children alive?" And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and delivered ere the midwives came into them." Now, for literally centuries, some commentators have been saying that these midwives lied. But these lies were justifiable, but they didn't lie. They didn't lie, folks. What happened, what they did, you see, in those days, the idea was, I don't remember which way it was, but if it's being carried high, I believe it's a male baby. If it's carried low, it's a female baby. Or maybe that's the opposite, but, you know, you can... You know, I hear the women discussing that now and then, and I'm not sure. But in those days, they were fairly sure of whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. Remember, back in those days, there were only two genders. And so when the time came and they knew it was going to be, or they suspected it was a boy baby, and the word went out to the Hebrew midwives, they just took their good old time of getting there. That way, when they did get there, the babies would have been, the males born and hidden away, like they did with Moses. And so he goes on to say, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass because the..." Well, that means that they became very numerous, very, very numerous. "And it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses." Folks, let me tell you something. In at that time, in those days, only the very privileged could have homes, houses to live in, private houses to live in there. "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, 'Every son that is born, you shall cast him into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.'" Now, here you've seen often the old portraits of the human body, a man's body with a crocodile head. And he was supposed to be Raul or whatever, the god of the Nile. And what would happen is when these women, these midwives would be, that what they were supposed to do is have a big bucket of water, and if the baby came out and it was a male, they were to drown the baby and then take it and sacrifice it to the god of the Nile and throw it to the crocodiles. And the Nile was filled with crocodiles. And so here... I want to go now over to Daniel chapter 3. And it's time to wet my whistle. And in Daniel chapter 3, we read, starting in verse 8. "Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." Now, the Chaldeans were the upper class, the ruling class of the Babylonians. "And they spake and they said to Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. O thou kings, has made a decree that Every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. Well, that golden image actually was about 90 feet tall, and it was covered over with gold plated. Now, this was, the Bible is filled with types and shadows, you know, types of images and then shadows of things to come. But in this case, this image of Nebuchadnezzar, the statue here, was a type of the image that we find in Romans 13, verse 15. And by that saying, that failure to bow and worship this, as failure to bow and worship the beast that would be brought to life, the penalty was a painful death. The pain of death, again, was the penalty for refusing to worship this beast and to worship the beast there in Revelation 13, 15. And he goes on to say, and whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, O king, have not regarded thee, they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, then at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and you worship the image which I made, all is well. Well, he says. But if you worship not, you should be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom you serve, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the gold image which thou hast set up. Boy, wouldn't that be something? I mean, just think of how wonderful it would be if even half of the pastors in this country had that kind of courage. Even if 10% of the pastors in this country had that kind of courage, how wonderful it would be. We'd have a whole complete different country, folks, I'll guarantee you. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Now, I wonder how in those days they could measure that. But And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other outer garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of this fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Now, folks, here, this fiery furnace is a type of the burning lake of fire. The burning lake of fire. This fiery furnace is the type of the burning lake of fire. Now, who is it that kept in the fire, that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from perishing in the fire? The very same one that keeps you and I, all of us that have called upon his name, that have received Christ as our Savior, he's the same one. So that Son of God in there, the Lord Jesus himself, in that furnace, is the same one that keeps you and I from perishing in the lake of fire. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had put their trust and faith in him. The same way, by us putting our trust and faith in him, he will keep us from that burning lake of fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near in the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Boy, I wish I could have been there for that. Oh, I wish I could have been there to see the look on all of their faces when this happened. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel." Now remember, the word in both the Hebrew and the Greek, angelos in the Greek, means messenger. Now he's saying he sent his messenger. He referred to him before as the Son of God, but now he's his messenger, which was the Lord Jesus, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their body, that they might not serve nor worship any god except for their own God. Believe me, when Nebuchadnezzar saw that happening, he was a changed man. Get rid of the statue. There's only one God, folks. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the province of Babylon. And so, here, remember, Nebuchadnezzar at that time was, considered to be the king of the world. That all as far as every land that could be occupied, he was the king of. At least he considered himself to be king of the world. Now remember, not too long after this, this very same Nebuchadnezzar, he goes out and he stands out, and you can picture him out on the balcony of his castle, and he looks down over this kingdom, and he opens his arms, and he said, all of this have I created. And God was listening. Can you imagine God saying, excuse me, all of this who created? Well, you see, Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. Remember, God heard what he had said. And earlier, now Nebuchadnezzar became a believer in God. But was there a true repentance? Well, it didn't sound like there was a true repentance. He believed what he saw there. And here now, God had decided to prove to Nebuchadnezzar that he didn't create all that, and the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was not a god. And so Nebuchadnezzar was in for a rough road to hoe for the next 7 years, when the Lord would put him in delusion. He would literally eat grass like an ox, and the dew was set upon him in the morning. His hair became like bird feathers, and his nails became like eagle's claws. And the people watched in amazement for 7 years, because he was still the king as he crawled around and ate grass like an ox. And so now, here, as Shiphra and Pua, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Peter and the apostles, as they said, we must obey God and not corrupt governments, folks. This is where we all need to be the lesser magistrates. We all need to stand up, and that's what we try to do here for the last 50 years, to stand in the gap for God. Stand in the gap for the nations against the wickedness and the corruption. So we must obey God and not that corrupt government. We have very little time, I believe, left before our country, before they try to take control. Remember, we had said earlier, there's an estimated, just in Chinese nationals alone, and they have long, long-range plans. And folks, we've been telling you this stuff for years. Out there, how they've had long-range plans for years. I heard about 3 years ago, over 3 years ago now, where they had said, these top Chinese generals had said that they had a long-range planned invasion, land invasion of the United States. Now, here, if you heard Friday's radio program, then you heard Pastor Arthur Polinsky, who was the lesser magistrate in Canada, who did like we did here during COVID. He kept his church open. He obeyed God rather than man. He obeyed God rather than man. And he was persecuted by a very, very corrupt Canadian government. In fact, like he told me, he said, you know, if I were to go to Canada today, you see, this radio broadcast is broadcast up in Canada, but it's illegal, but it's still broadcast there. If I were to go to Canada, and try to host a radio program there, they'd arrest me within minutes. And in fact, even if they knew who I was and I went there, they would arrest me. And so Pastor Arthur Polinsky, he understood, because he was the fellow that went out and encouraged the truckers on their strike. And they came to his house, they came to his church, they made him, at one time hung him upside down, another time they, right out in the middle of the highway, they made him get on his knees, and they arrested him, they abused him, because he took a stand, an uncompromising stand. And America, folks, you have to understand, America has forgotten her God. She has forgotten her God. I've been hoping and praying and preaching for years that America would repent and go back to being one nation under God. But America, no longer the fastest growing religion now today, is atheism, folks. And I can tell you one thing, with those Chinese communists, when they do take over, and it's not going to be an easy thing, because there's at least 15 to 20 million armed Americans that are willing to fight. But if they would take us over, they would want to do to us what the Democratic communists, what the communists in Washington, D.C., did to the Christian patriots and missionaries to the preborn. They're going after pro-lifers. A number of my friends right now, they're going after homeschoolers now. They're going after any parents that would protest at the school board meetings because they don't want their children reading pornography in the public school system. And so here, we need to be much more aggressive, folks, much more aggressive in combating the tactics of the left. We have to have a zero tolerance for all things that are what they call woke today. We must make the establishing of grand juries and constitutional militias a high priority. Now, folks, that is Second Amendment. That's your Second Amendment. It's required according to our Constitution. Our corrupt men in this country have turned our judicial system and so corrupt. They've gotten so far away from what the Founding Fathers meant in our Constitution. So we need to become a nation of lesser magistrates, so that once again we may have a legitimate form of government, one that is not so corrupted. Now, people don't understand, America is already under God's judgment, folks. We're already under God's judgment. Today, again, like I said, the fastest growing religion in America is the fool's religion, atheism. It's the fool's religion. Who said that, God? Now, God's judgment on a nation that has forgotten their God, again, it's already begun. This is why we've had over 150 million of our own children have been murdered, and our sewers from coast to coast ran red with the blood of the innocents, and that blood cries out to Almighty God, and He condemned it. See, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 20 tells you that not only if you kill your baby or offer your baby up, whether it's sacrificed to convenience or to Moloch, whatever, not only must the government remove you, take you out, kill you, but it tells you that for the people to know that they're doing this, like today for you to know that they're killing babies in these abortion mills and you do nothing about it, then you too should be killed. And see, this is something that people don't understand. We have been so dumbed down with neo-evangelicalism and the apostate church. People don't realize it, and even some these women at these crisis pregnancy centers and even some of the people at the Right to Life Board, if you tell them, did you know that God's Word, the Bible, says that if you kill your child, you deserve to die. If you have an abortion, you deserve to die. That's what the Bible teaches. Folks, it's in the Noahic Covenant. Go to Genesis chapter 9. Read it, folks. It's there. But it's like, well, God hasn't he hasn't seen the polls. You know, we've taken polls on this, and the most people disagree with that. I got news for you, folks. God is immutable. He doesn't change. And he could care less about what most people think. Do you understand? Now, God has said, when you kill that child, you've committed a murder. Now, I'll guarantee you this. Every single one of these women that have killed their babies will stand before God. God will not stand before them. Do you understand? God is the judge. And those people that are a part of that, their accessories that talk these women into killing their babies, and these bloody abortionists. I truly believe there's a really hot place in hell, a real hot place in hell for those bloody abortionists. And so God's judgment on a nation that's forgotten their God. It's already begun. Abortion, pedophilia, the child sex trafficking, fentanyl. They say now there are about 80 million not 80 million, 80,000. Just last year, 80,000 young people in this country died from fentanyl. Just in 1 year, 80,000. Folks, in the entire Vietnam War, we lost 58,000. Here, Biden's gang, Biden's drug dealers, Biden's drug cartels have killed. They've killed over 80,000 just in 1 year of our children. Multiply that by three, right? Porn industry, child porn industry. Of course, we have all of the invading armies coming in. Biden's bringing in all of the invading armies. The COVID, kill shots, LGBTQ. God, we look all through the Bible and you see how God has told them to destroy wherever they are, to destroy the LGBTQ of that day, the Sodomites. You've got the Islamic jihadist camps, well over 100 in this country. You've got the squat, the corrupt courts. You've got what they call that view, the completely corrupt media. And here, too, the Bible tells you that God, as a punishment to a people, will give them women leaders. Now you say, well, I disagree with that. Go ahead. It's up to you if you want to. But God's going to win that argument. Just go over to Isaiah chapter 3 and read it. But as a punishment for rebellious nation, God will give them women leaders. Look at how many women governors we have now. Look at all of these women prosecutors. See, very few people understand what's happening. They really don't. They don't understand. This is God's judgment. And not only has he given us women leaders, he's given us men who think they're women. That's right. In the Obama regime, you have all of these men who think that they're women. They're called these trans things, folks. Now, I got to tell you this. In all of this, right now, everything I'm talking about, right now, everything will not even matter to you. But one thing will always matter. One thing. And we need to go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. And we read this. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Folks, the time will come, this will happen, when the only thing that will matter to you is your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either saved or you're lost. Now, that's a reality. And there's nothing better than going to heaven and hearing those words, "Well done, my good and faithful son." And nothing can be worse than to hear, "Get thee behind me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Folks, to die in your sin, it don't get any worse. So get on your knees, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and don't wait till tomorrow. Do it tonight. Now, I want to start back where we left off and finish there in Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Well, folks out there, are you willing to be persecuted? Are you willing? The Lord says, "Who shall I send?" Were you willing to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? Folks, this is, God has raised us up for such a time as this. It is now our time. We to get real. Now, we're heading. Remember, everything we've told you in the past has come about. Everything we've told you in the past has come about. Now we're telling you. Things are going to get very interesting, very, very quickly. Things are being sped up, in fact. And so, right now, the deep state's going after Christians. They're going after homeschoolers. And there's a growing anti-Christian, anti-Jew sentiment in the world today. And all of the signs are really pointing at the very soon imminent return of our Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? That's the most important thing for you to answer that. Well, we're at that time where we come to every night. When we get to this time, we say, "God bless, good night, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight."
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.